We do bring you warm Christian greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ this evening. It's good to be here this evening in support of Brother Garnet and support of the meetings here at Pleasant Hill. Our prayers have been with you. We were able to catch a few of the services on the telephone, but there's nothing quite like the fellowship of the saints. You know, as we think about the fellowship of the saints, the Apostle Paul, as you go through his writings, he was constantly longing for those opportunities of fellowship of the saints. Regardless of what church it was, you know, he said his bowels would long for them or desire to impart some spiritual gift to them. He was constantly looking for opportunities of fellowship. You know, fellowship is one of the privileges which we have of believers, which I'm not sure we draw enough upon that as a resource and as a method of strengthening. Fellowship is a real method of strengthening the body of Christ, and I think we need to take advantage of that. The writer of Hebrews talks about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but he says, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. I was not always quite sure exactly what that meant by so much the more as we see the day approaching, but I think as I get older and as I look around at what's going on in the world today, I think I have a better understanding of what it means as we see the day approaching and the encouragement was for fellowship. For only Scripture, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, verse 14, beginning of verse 66. Gospel of Mark, verse 14, chapter 14, verse 66. I have the account of the denial of Jesus by Peter. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And the maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them. And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Very challenging words, words of Scripture, which I think each one of us need to examine ourselves concerning this issue. In the life of the Apostle Peter. Shall we kneel together as we pray?
Amen. I've enjoyed singing some of that song each evening. I trust that you've enjoyed that as a theme song as well. We do greet you, each one tonight, from near and far, those from home and those from our home congregations close to us, and all of you that have come from wherever tonight, together to worship. Appreciate you being here. We welcome those that are watching on YouTube and those that are listening by way of the telephone. But it's better to be here in the house of God. Amen. Some we know are not able, and that's wonderful, but just to stay home because we don't want to come to the house of God is not a very good excuse. Amen. I want to take a little time here in the beginning rather than detract from the service at the end of the sermon tonight to thank the congregation. I want to say, you know, we're in revival season. I believe the Upper Kahnawake meeting started this morning, Brother Leon Myers, and I'm sure they would welcome you this coming week as well. We do have revival planned for Trinity. Brethren Fellowship, that's our new name. I guess I hadn't told you that while we're here, but withdrawing from the denomination, we call our congregation Trinity Brethren Fellowship. That's our official name. But we are planning a meeting beginning the 30th of September. That is not this coming Wednesday night, but Wednesday night a week, 30th through October 4, Sunday evening, October 4, and we would welcome you to come and support Brother Paul Shirk in that meeting as well. I do want to thank the brethren for inviting me to come, this little preacher to come. This is the fourth revival, I guess, that I've had. We talked about that one other evening. Someone mentioned a couple of dates. It was 1989, I believe, was the first meeting I had, and 1999 and 2007, and here we are, 2020. It seems like time moves on. We plan these meetings, and we plan them sometimes out in the future, and anticipating maybe the Lord will return before the appointments come. But the Lord has spared us, and I believe He spared us. There are still some that He wants to gather into the fold. He's long-suffering. The Bible says, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And for all your prayers and encouragement, for those who hosted us for a few meals, for fellowship in your homes, it's been good. As I mentioned, I appreciate the brethren inviting me. A number of years ago, close our home, there was a Brethren in Christ church that had a revival meeting planned, and the brother that was to come for that meeting wanted to come real, real bad. His family thought he wasn't able. He had some problems. They did not want him to come, and the pastor called me about a week before and wanted to know if I would be available, if at the last minute this brother is not able to come, that I would maybe come and preach for them. It's part of a week's revival. And I said, well, I guess I could probably do that. And so towards the end of the week, prior to when the meeting was to start, I saw in the newspaper that the brother they had scheduled he was going to be there. Told Katie, I said, boy, I said, that's, I don't need to worry about that or think about that. And so it was the beginning of that week then. The pastor called and said that the brother was going to become. His family didn't want him to, but he wanted to, and so they were going to see how it went. And sometime after that, I saw one of their parishioners, met him, and I asked, well, how did the brother do? How did he do? And he looked at me and he said, he should have never come. He should have never come. And of course, he explained then he had some issues while he was there. So if there's a problem with this preacher, you talk to Brother Ray, because he's the one that gave me the phone call. And so you talk to him after we leave here tonight. To those sisters who provided snacks for us to go home each evening, we thank you for that. That was enjoyable by some of the folks that provided transportation for us as well. We enjoyed that fellowship and those treats on the way home. And so God has been good, and I trust that these days together has been an encouragement in the life of this congregation. I think of Jesus when he took Peter and James and John and went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and his raiment shone bright as the light, and Moses and Elias appeared, and there was a cloud. And they said after the cloud disappeared and Moses and Elias were gone, it was Jesus and the disciples, and they said, it is good for us to be here. They went on and said, we're going to make three tabernacles, you know, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. And I would say tonight that after that cloud lifted, the Bible says they saw Jesus only. And I hope during these days together that you see Jesus only. You don't see much behind this pulpit, but I trust that you have seen the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. So pray for us. Pray for Katie and I. We're getting older, but the Lord has blessed Some of you wondered, I'll say this yet, some of you wondered a little about our health. You know, we were spent a night in the hospital back in December, and they found I had a blood clot, put me on blood thinner, and they found another spot in my lung that they were concerned about, and I've had a couple of CAT scans, and the last one was August 17, I believe, and the doctor gave me a report the first day of September, and he said that that spot that had grown to another size from what it was another time again has now shrunk to half the size that it was back in May when I had a CAT scan. So he wants another CAT scan in a couple of months, 6 months. He wants me to have another CAT scan, but God is good, and we're going to continue to preach and to lift up Jesus and to go on our way rejoicing in the God of our salvation. Our subject for a little while tonight is in the thought of ashamed to own the blessed Savior. And I use this account of Peter tonight, who was ashamed to be identified with the Lord Jesus. I'm convinced that today there's multitudes of people, church people, people that would say they're Christians, that are ashamed to be identified with Christ. There's a song that we sing sometimes, ashamed to own the blessed Savior, ashamed of Him who died for me. Someday, I know that you'll be sorry, for He will be ashamed of you. In Mark's gospel, we have the account of Peter that was read about here. But in Mark chapter 8, we read in verse 38, Jesus says, these are words of Jesus Himself, when He says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my works, words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when He cometh in the glory of His Father with the holy angels. You know, after Jesus was taken in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says that all of the disciples fled. They fled. They forsook Jesus and fled. When Jesus needed them most, when Jesus needed their support, they forsook Him and fled. Why did they forsake Jesus? Why did they deny the Lord? Why did Peter deny the Lord when He said He's not one of them? The maid saw Him there in verse 69 when Brother David read in that scripture out of Mark 14. The maid saw Him and began to say that to them that stood by, this is one of them. And He denied it again, and a little after stood by again, Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. You talk like them. You are one of them. And we know that the cock crew, but he began to curse and to swear, and to say, I know not this man of whom ye speak. We may not curse and we may not swear, but we may deny the Lord in failing to identify with Him when we meet those that are from the opposite force, those that are on the outside looking in. And I believe tonight there's several things that I'd like to look at. First of all, too often we are silenced by the crowd. We're afraid of the crowd. Too often we are persuaded by the crowd. We're afraid to stand alone. I believe that we are living in a day when we need to put on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We should never be ashamed to be identified with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How many times have you failed to take a stand when we should have said a word? The Bible says that we are to be ready always to give an answer to every man that would ask a reason of the hope that lies within us. with meekness and with fear. How often are we fearful and we're afraid and we do not speak when we should? When people ask us why we do what we do and why we stand on the principles that we stand upon, do we have an answer to give every man? Can we point to the scripture? You maybe heard me say this before, but two fellows were discussing what they believed, and one fellow said to the other, what do you believe about the situation? And the man says, well, I believe what my church believes about the situation. And then the man said, why, what does your church believe? And he said, they believe what I believe. And the man got a little frustrated, and he finally said, well, what do you and your church believe? And the man said, we both believe the same thing. And that's just about where a lot of people are today. They don't know what they believe. They just believe what the church believes. They do not have a reason of the hope. I believe when the world asks us, many times we're silent and we hardly know how to answer when people ask us why we dress the way we do. What's that prayer veiling that we wear on our heads? The sisters wear, and why do you practice some of the things that you do? We ought to have an answer, and many times we clamp up, we get lockjaw, we don't know what to say, or else we don't know how to say it. I'm not sure which, but we are silenced by the crowd. We think we're outnumbered, but we are of the few. We are of the chosen few. The Bible says that the crowd, the broad way, and the wide gate, many thereof. I tell my wife sometimes, and we don't go, used to get down to the Chambersburg Mall once in a while, and I'm not much of a shopper, and sometimes I just like to watch the people. I said, I feel like I ought to bring an apple crate or a soap box or something along and just stand up outside there and preach. I'd like to know where a lot of those people are going. They're going, they don't know where they're going. They're going on the broad road that's headed for destruction. Jesus said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. I trust tonight that we're of the chosen few, those that have been called out from among, that are not ashamed, that are not silenced by the crowd, that we stand up for truth and for righteousness. You know, it was easy for Peter, these disciples, to say, and he said it back in the earlier in this 14th chapter, when Jesus said there in the 27th verse, Jesus saith unto them, all of you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after I am risen, verse 29 then says, but Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. I believe another scripture in Matthew 26 says, never will I be offended. It's all right to talk like that when you're in the church, when you're with your chosen few. But how is it when we're out in the world and maybe we're the only one? We kind of clamp up, and I said we get lockjaw and we don't know how to respond many times. But these disciples were silenced by the crowd, the scribes, the Pharisees, and the soldiers, and all that crowd that came. And you know, They said, Judas says he was going to identify Jesus by a kiss. And so Judas kissed Jesus. I've said already, I've used the expression that Judas kissed the door to heaven and died and went to hell. Think about that. He kissed the door to heaven. He kissed Jesus, who said, I am the door into the sheepfold. The door that he stands at the door of our hearts and knocks. He's the door into heaven. He's the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father God, but by him. The crowd with swords and staves and weapons. And Peter took his sword and cut off one of them, the servant's ears, and Jesus restored it. Jesus told him to put up the sword in its place, for his kingdom is not of this world. With all the turmoil that's going on, I hear people saying today, several different people asked Katie and I, said, "Do you vote?" "No," I said, "I voted one time in my life, and I wish I'd have never voted then. I vote in church business and that, but as far as an election, I voted one time." People say Christians need a vote. We need a vote. I believe there's more power in prayer than there is in voting. I believe God sets up whom he will, and God puts down whom he will. God, it may just be the time, with all the immorality, with all the sin and everything that's going on in this world, it may be just the time that God may allow evil real rulers and people that do not hold our principles and our values, may allow someone like that to guide this nation. We may see some things yet before we get out of here. But when this crowd showed up in Gethsemane, the Bible says that they forsook him and fled. They were afraid of the crowd. They were silenced by the crowd. You know, one of my favorite heroes of the Bible is dear old brother Elijah. Elijah, the man of God, that faced those 850 prophets, false prophets and prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, when they had that contest between the prophets of Baal. And Elijah had put a proposition. He said to God that answers by fire, "Let him be God." And so the false prophets built up the altar and put on the sacrifice and did all their dancing and whatever they did, their hokey pokey and the all night or whatever, and nothing happened. The fire didn't come. The God that answers by fire, Elijah said, "Let him be God." And God didn't answer. Their God didn't answer. They even cut themselves, it says. And God didn't answer. And so in the morning or whenever, Elijah rebuilt the altar. They even tore down the altar with their actions. Elijah rebuilt the altar, and he put the sacrifice on, and the stones was there, you know, and he took water and poured it around the outside, and he called on the God of heaven. He said, and the God of heaven answered by fire. He said that they were to choose between, how long, he said, halt ye, between two opinions. If the Lord is God, follow him. If it's Baal, if Baal's a God, follow him. And the people answered not a word. That's what happens a lot of times. We don't have an answer to give. But we know that the God of heaven answered by fire. One man of God faced all that. He was not silenced by the crowd. I believe there's a day when we need to be bold. We're living in a time when we need to stand and be counted for the Lord. If you vote tonight, I'm not finding fault with you, but my vote is going to be on my knees. And I'm not too sure that may not have more effect. When I see the kingdoms of this world, all this stuff is a part of the kingdom of this world. Satan is the god of this world. And all this carrying on that's going on, it's not of God. It's the devil. He's the one that's stirring up all the trouble. So let's pray and let's seek the face of God. But God, Elijah was God's prophet, God's man for the hour. You know, every time that God needs a man, he has one or more than one, an army that's standing for truth and for righteousness in these evil days. This crowd that was around did not silence the man of God. The people said after the fire fell, they said, "The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God." Of course, the prophets of Baal met their doom, and Elijah got scared and he ran. He got out. I'm not going to tell all that story. But we need to remember that the crowd should not silence, the majority should not silence the majority, the minority. I think we have a responsibility to stand and not to be silenced by the crowd. Secondly, tonight, I think too often we are shamed by the cross. You know, there is a stigma that goes along with cross bearing. There's a stigma that goes. I talked this morning about the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. There's power in the blood. We sing those songs sometimes. But when we think about the cross, we think about the shedding of blood. And sometimes we're shamed by that. People are ashamed to identify with that. You know, Christians tonight are in the crosshairs of the world system. We're in the crosshairs. In other countries, I've said already that what we have enjoyed in the United States of America is not the normal for Christians around the world up to this point. Christians around the world are a marked people for destruction, to destroy. Jesus said, if they hated me, he said, they are going to hate you. And we can expect when we stand, if we're going to bend and bow to every whim and everything that comes down the road and all of this stuff that we're supposed to obey and do, we shouldn't even be allowed probably together here tonight. But I'm thankful for the support that we've had this past week when God's people have rallied together. I heard one man saying, I don't know if I said this or not, but when he enters the house of God, he said the blood of Jesus Christ covers him. I believe tonight that is true. But we should not be shamed by the cross. There's a people around us and among us who are ashamed of the Bible. They don't even want to carry a Bible. They don't want to be seen carrying a Bible. Anti-God, anti-Christ, forces that are at work to destroy. And when we think of the cross and the humiliation of that and the shedding of blood, that's repulsive to a lot of people, but that is God's plan for the human family. Without the shedding of blood, the preacher said this morning, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness. There is no exoneration of sin. It's only by the precious blood of the Lamb of God. And so tonight, we should not be ashamed to identify with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that I am one of His. I am one of His. I could sing a song tonight, but I'm not gonna. I have found out some time ago a song that says, I am one of them today. Let me read the first verse. How I came to love those Christians is to me a great surprise. And the way the Lord has led me is a marvel in my eyes. Oh, I never thought I'd be one, but I am happy now to say that although I used to hate them, I am one of them today. I like that whole song. But as I said, I'm not going to sing it tonight. But the words on it just that we identify. We're not ashamed to be identified. One time this man says he hated them, but now he's one of them today. Shamed by the cross. We live in a day today when it seems like that we have seeker-friendly churches. There's no requirements of any kind. All you do is just say you love Jesus. You can listen to the same music. You can go to the same old places. You can live the same old life. But just say you love Jesus. And there's not much cross-bearing. We sing sometimes that song, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. There is cross-bearing. That bearing the cross is denying of self. Someone says, oh, I have a lame foot, or I have this wrong with me, or I have a wayward son or a wayward daughter, and oh, that's a cross. That's not the cross the Bible talks about. Jesus talks about denying ourselves and taking up our cross daily and following Him. It's not just a one-time experience where we say, I love Jesus, I've accepted Jesus, I stood or I was baptized or shook the preacher's hand. I'll tell you, it's something we do daily. It's a daily walk and a daily talk, something we have to keep. It's just, as I said, not just something that happens on a one-time basis. But the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. There is a change takes place. And we're shamed by the cross because many times we do not identify with the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross was something that was cursed. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And Jesus was the one that was prophesied about. And so if we want to identify with Him, we should not be ashamed of the cross, where old things are passed away. All things become new. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus. We put off the old man with all his deeds, and we put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Love not the world, the Bible says, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This world system and all that it has to offer is of the world. The Bible says, and the world passeth away, and the lusts thereof. But it's those that do the will of the Father are those that are going to be saved and receive the rewards. We need to be a different people, a changed people. I believe the cross will change our lives, where old things passed away and all things become new. And so we hear people saying today about their coming out. The Bible talks about come out from among them. 2 Corinthians 5, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and he will receive us, and so on. We hear people today saying about they come out. They're coming out. They're coming out of the closet, a lot of times is what they're talking about. The ungodly lifestyles, they're coming out of the closets. But the coming out that the children of God do, sinners that come to Jesus, come out from among an ungodly world and identify with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, I believe in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed of the Lord Jesus. And so tonight, we need to stand up. We need to identify, not to be ashamed to identify with the Lord Jesus. The early apostles, you know, they were beaten and they were stoned. And yet they were accounted, they said, they counted themselves worthy to be persecuted and to be beaten for the cause of Christ. So tonight, the early apostles, some of them, and even some today, you know, they say that we're ignorant and we're unlearned and we don't know very much. We're some of the deplorables. We're some of that crowd. People that identify with truth and with righteousness and with the Bible, with the church. We don't know very much. The early apostles were accused of being ignorant and unlearned men. But above all of that, the Bible says that they, those that observed, those that looked on, took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Amen. Can the world see Jesus? Is a song we sing sometimes in you and in me. Have we identified with the cross? Have we identified with the cross of Christ? That is being crucified with Christ. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, he says he lives. But it's not he that lives, but Christ that lives in him. And he says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. God forbid, we need to glory in the cross of what Jesus, and not be ashamed of the cross. May the Lord help us not to be ashamed of the cross, not to be silenced by the crowd, and not to be shamed by the cross. And then sometimes I think we're often scared of the cost. What's it going to cost me? What do I have to give up? You know, the brethren, then they began their little group. I believe it was Luke chapter 14 where the scriptures were read. Scripture was read that no man intends to build a tower that doesn't sit down first and count the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Lest after he begins to build and finds out that he don't have enough of finances to finish the building, those that look on are going to mock and scoff and said, this man began to build and was not able to finish. I think sometimes we're scared of the cost. We're afraid to make a decision for fear that we cannot hold out. He goes on in that same context of verses and talks about a man going to war with so many thousand soldiers and so on, and whether he'll be able, some with 10,000 soldiers, to fight the war, the battle against someone with 20,000. And they consider the cost, whether they're able to be the victor. They want to win the battle. And so I believe tonight there is a cost, not in dollars and cents, but a given up will to serve the Lord, giving up our will to the will of God. Not my will, but thine be done. That's something that every one of us struggle against, our own selfish will. We need to submit our will to the will of God. God has a perfect will. He has a permissive will, but he also has a perfect will for every one of us. We need to find our place in the plan of God, in the program of God. And so tonight, I believe that we're often scared of the cost, and we fail to identify. We're ashamed to own the blessed Savior. It's pretty evident today that when anyone goes against the crowd of this current world that we're living in, you know, we'll be ostracized and we'll be made fun of and mocked and scoffed. And some of us can't take that kind of treatment from an unbelieving world. We're marked as sexist. We're marked as racist. We're marked as intolerant. The Apostle Paul talks about some of the experiences that he had. In 1 Corinthians 4:13, he says, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of this world, of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. He was scoffed. He was made fun of. He was mocked. But yet he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Every one of us have a cross to bear. We have to pay the cost. It's without money. Salvation is a free gift of God. It's something that's given to us through the merits of Jesus Christ. I spoke one other evening about God granting us Christ's righteousness. Christ took our sin and granted us his righteousness. And that's a beautiful picture of the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Paul in Romans, you know, we may suffer. We may suffer for the cause of Christ. You know, we take a vow when we come into the church whether we're going to be faithful unto death. It's not so much until death, but it's unto death. However that may come, that may come for many of our brothers and sisters around the world that are suffering, that are in countries where the Bible is a banned book, where Christians are a marked people. They're not allowed to have church and all of the things that many of our fellow Christians around the world are going through. We have been spared a lot of that, but it may be coming to our shores as well. But let's not be silenced by the crowd. Let's not be shamed by the cross. Let's not be scared of the cost. I believe the Bible says at one place that we're not to fear him that can destroy the body, but we are rather to fear him that can destroy both soul and body and cast it into hell. And that is fearing God. Let's be stand up and be counted. And I believe in these days we need to have on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, against the evil times in which we live. We are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. He doesn't want weak soldiers. We're in an army of the Lord. We have a captain, and greater is he that is in us tonight than he that is in the world. And may God help us tonight never to be ashamed of the gospel, never to be ashamed of the Lord Jesus, regardless of what comes our way. The Bible says, Paul says in Romans 8:18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Brother, sister, tonight, regardless of what happens, there's something better on the other side. It's better farther on. And the nearer some of us get home, the better the other side looks. We should never be silenced by the crowd, never to be ashamed, even if there's more. A majority with Christ is one. If we have the Lord, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world that's around us. As Elijah did, he stood on Mount Carmel and he proclaimed the God of heaven, the God in whom we live and we move and have our being. That's the true God. That's the living God. That's the only God. That's the God we serve tonight. So like I said, it's pretty evident that when we take a stand for the Bible and for truth, we're going to be mocked and scoffed and made fun of and all of those things that happen to us day by day. But let's stand. Let's not to be ashamed, not to be ashamed. When Jesus says, "He that is ashamed to confess me before men, of him," he says, "will I be ashamed to confess before my Father which is in heaven." I trust tonight there's no one here that's ashamed of Christ. If there's some here tonight that are not saved, anyone, we would invite you to come, join that holy band, and on to glory go. Become a part of the family of God. Come out from among the world and be a separate people. And God says he will be a father unto us, and we will be his sons and his daughters, adopted into the family of God. And so tonight, we're going to extend a hymn of invitation. What number, Brother Donald, are we going to sing?
729.
729.